Remember the crippled man was at the as the gate, was crippled, and walked up there, and the apostle stopped, and he said, he put an arm, and he said, I don't have none, but I do give you what I have. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. So what did that apostle believe they had? The right to use that name and preach the gospel with them. See, healing and miracles is the gospel. And what? Salvation. The gospel is salvation, healing, and miracles. And becoming a child of God. Beautiful. So God says, and we'll tie this into the message, so I'm going to stop.
Oh, thanks. I love being married to John. He is an awesome man, an awesome man of God, and he stretches me. So this week he said, you're going to, the Lord wants you, to, you know, it's not you're going to, the Lord wants you. Think of the pressure. The Lord wants you to bring the word. You're not going to say no, are you? How could I say no to God? And so I was praying, and you know, it's important to me I say what God once said. Otherwise, we're just here having a little a get-together. I like get-togethers. I like parties. I like all that stuff. But let's do something worthwhile. Let's do something to change your life. And this morning, God is changing our lives. He wants us healed. He wants us delivered. He wants our thinking changed. No more of this poor me. Not good enough. Oh, I'm not good enough. It's not good enough. Whichever side the devil has you on that moment. You know, he'll change sides on you. One time I was so discouraged, I said, I'm not going to church. And he agreed with me. He said, those people don't like you at church. It's no reason to go to church. It's late. You're going to be late. And they judge you. They condemn you. They don't like you. I said, that is so true. I'm just not going to go. The next minute, he said, what kind of Christian are you not to go to church? He'll jump from side to side, anything he can do to keep you out of the glory. Oh, what a great song. Out of the glory of God. Out of the will of God. God's standing there with his love trying to pour on you, and the devil's saying, you better get an umbrella. You might get hit with that glory. Go ahead. What is that old Pentecostal saying? I want under the spout where the glory comes out. I never quite understood that, but sounded good. Well, today is Palm Sunday. And what that means is this is the sermon God gave me. Let's go back to the title. This is the sermon God gave me. How do you see yourself? And, you know, I wanted to talk about Palm Sunday and what happened. In fact, let's go ahead and start with that next screen. Palm Sunday is talked about three places in the Bible. The first place is in the book of Mark, chapter 11. Now, when I hear Mark chapter 11, I think, have faith in God. If you say to this mountain, be moved and be cast into the sea, and doubt not in your heart, it will obey you. But there's more to chapter 11 than that. And chapter 11, verses 9 and 10, it says, those who went before and those who followed cried out. Now, let me set the stage for you. Anytime a man, a king, a conqueror, took over a nation or a city, the way they did it after the war, they got on their finest horse, and they came into the largest gate of the most important city, and they said, I am the conqueror, and from now on, I'm in charge. Well, Jesus told his disciples, hey, go over here, and there's a donkey, a colt, never been ridden, baby donkey. Untie it and bring it to me. And if they say, what are you doing? Say, the master has use for it. Say that with me. The master has use for it. Say it again. The master has use for it. Now I want you to say it, but change the last word from it to me. The master has use for me. The Master has use for me. Don't ever say, why was I born? The Master has use for me. Don't ever say, why am I in this situation? Why do I live here? Why do I have this situation? Well, you may be out of the will of God, but He has use for you.
Amen.
He don't. What kind of English is that? He doesn't put you on the shelf. I ain't got it yet, but I'm gonna. Okay? The Master has use. And so they brought that donkey. They put their clothes on the donkey. Jesus got up there and he rode in the biggest gate of the biggest city. And he said, in effect, by riding in, he was saying, I am taking this kingdom. I'm taking this city, this country. I'm taking this earth. See, back in Genesis, there was Adam and Eve, and God gave them responsibility for the whole earth. Yes, the Garden of Eden, but also the whole earth. And they gave it to the devil through deception, through disobedience. And so it says in the Bible that the devil is the god of this world. But you know, there was a time, and it happened right there in Jerusalem, Jesus stepped in and said, no more. Now I am the God of this earth. I'm taking back what belongs to me. And he did it all without saying a single word. He got on that donkey and he rode in, and the people recognized what was going on, and they said, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And the reason they said that was one of the prophets had prophesied, when you see the Messiah, you're going to say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they were saying, we're seeing the Messiah. We've waited 4,000 years. The Messiah is here. Messiah means sent one. It means the one God has planned. It means the deliverer. Here's Jesus. Now, in their minds, they were probably thinking Jesus was going to take over the Roman Empire and kick out the Romans and set up the Jews. Oh, no. The plan's much bigger than that. The plan is to establish God's will in the earth. And Jesus knew it. And Jesus knew it. Go to the next scripture. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. They were saying, you're the Messiah. You're the one we've waited for. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Next one. In Luke, it says, as he was drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen. We've seen mighty works. We've had miracles. We've known people that had miracles. We've seen things happen for us that shouldn't have happened. And we've seen things didn't happen that should have happened. I don't know how many of you have been taken to court, but that's when you want things to not happen that might should happen. And he does it. He's there for us. He does it. Mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Now, it seems like at the first of Matthew and the first of Luke, we got these angels shouting that from the sky. Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth toward men. Well, now we've got the people shouting it. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Amen. Go ahead. And some of the Pharisees called to him. They were in the crowd. They weren't shouting Hosanna. They weren't shouting this is the Messiah. They shouted, Jesus, shut those people up. Rebuke those people. Tell them to stop saying that. And Jesus said, I tell you, if these should be keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. Listen, I'm not having a stone take my place. I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to declare he's the Messiah. I'm going to shout, Hosanna, 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 praise God. That's also found in John chapter 12. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees. Now, the palm tree doesn't have some kind of significance. Do not go worship a palm tree. It's just the one at hand, okay? If you'd been around where I was raised, it'd have been a cotton plant. When John was raised, it'd have been a mesquite bush, okay? They took what was at hand and laid it down so that the donkey's feet wouldn't even touch the the pavement or dirt, whatever it was. And they cried, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." It seemed like that was said over Jesus when he was born too. The wise men said, "Where is he that's born, the King of the Jews?" And Herod goes, "I'm the King of the Jews. Kill him." Right? The devil has not been happy about Jesus for a very long time. Amen? Well, I just wanted to talk about, go back to the title, sister. How do you see yourself? Now, maybe you see yourself as a leader, maybe in the religious or government community, like Nicodemus. He followed the law. He kept the law. He did not make any mistakes. He didn't do anything wrong. He followed the law. And yet here comes Jesus, and Nicodemus went by night and said, "Where did you get this education? You didn't go to our university. How come you know so much about God?" And Jesus was able to lead him into the things of God. Maybe you see yourself as a successful military leader. The Roman centurion said, I got men under me. I came up under the ranks. I've proven myself in battle, and I cannot get my servant healed." And you know, he sent word to Jesus and said, "Please, heal my servant." And Jesus said, "I'll come to your house." And the centurion said, No. "I understand authority." Maybe this is you. Maybe this is you. "I understand authority. You don't even have to come to my house. Just speak the word only, and my servant will be healed." Ooh, I want to be like that, don't you? That's how I want to see myself. Amen. Or perhaps you're like that helpless foreigner. He was a Samaritan, and then he contracted. He got leprosy. He got the disease. He got the death sentence. I don't know if his fingers had started to fall off, his ears. I don't know. He was in a bad shape, and he was running with some other Jews, and they decided to go to Jesus. There were 10 of them. And Jesus said, "Go show yourself to the priest." And on the way, they were healed. Those sores dried up. And the Samaritan, the foreigner, how did he see himself? He saw himself as unworthy to receive this miracle, and he ran back to Jesus, fell on his face, and said, "Thank you, thank you, thank you." Do you see yourself as thankful? And Jesus said, "Not only are you healed, I'm going to make you whole," as if you'd never had the disease. Woo! How do you see yourself? Maybe you're part of the big crowd and you're hungry. See, you heard Jesus was going to talk, and you ran out and you forgot to be prepared. You didn't even grab a loaf of bread or a bottle of water. You just ran out of the house. You wanted to hear Jesus, and he talked all day, and you wanted to hear everything he had to say, and you saw the miracles. You saw what was going on. You couldn't have enough, and the sun starts going down, and you think, "I'm hungry. I didn't eat all day." And your little ones are, "Mama, Daddy, where's supper?" I forgot to prepare for this. And Jesus says, "Oh, here's the little boy's lunch. Some for you, and some for you, and some for you. And eat all you want." And Jesus has filled your hunger. And does it day by day by day. Amen. Oh, maybe you're like that rich young ruler. He had come up in the ranks. He had gotten a good job. He was a good worker. And he got promoted to the place that he was a ruler over others. In fact, even though he was young, he was promoted. And he deserved it too. He sacrificed whatever it took. And along with the promotion came money. And he was rich. The rich young ruler, he's called in the Bible. And he said, "Jesus, I still have an empty spot inside of me. Let me be a follower of yours. What does it take?" And Jesus said, "You've got to let go of everything that you depend on. Sell all you have. Give it to the poor. And then come follow me." And the guy said, "Oh, no, I can't give up my position. I can't give up my money. I can't give up my, what I've earned and worked. It's taken me all my life to get here. I can't give it up. And he went away, sorrowful. In my life, growing up, there were certain things that were deemed important, and one was education. You went to school, and you better like it. And I did. I went to school, and I liked it, and it was good. Everything was good, and then my mother sacrificed and did everything she could to send all of us to college, all of us that would go. And we went to college, and we got a degree. And then they said, well, that's not quite good enough. You need to get another degree. So we kept going to college, and we got our master's degree. And they said, well, that's not quite good enough. And we just kept going to school and kept getting this education. Now, we weren't rich, and we were not a ruler. And by this time, we weren't even young. But we had education. And the Lord spoke to me personally. This is not for everybody. This is for me. And said, stop depending on your education. I don't care what college you graduated from or what degree you have. I care, do you love me? Do you live in my image? Are you growing? Are you giving? Are you acting like me in the earth? Will you humble yourself? I said, it took me years to get this degree. It took me years to get where I am. And he said, and exactly who appreciates it? I said, well, nobody. So he said, I'll tell you what, you leave that over there and follow me. And I said, yes. I was not like the rich young ruler. I said, yes, and followed him. And I have more in every way than I could ever purchase with a college degree.
Amen.
Amen. So that's the choice I made. I'm not saying education's wrong. My goodness, education's wonderful. But when you depend on that education to make you good, to make you right, when you depend on your bank account to make you good, I'm good. I have a good job. I pay my bills on time. Please keep doing that. But that's not where your righteousness comes from. What does God think about you? Well, God loves the beggar in the street. Yes, he does. And he loves that beggar just as much as he loves me. Yes, he does. But that beggar has not yet answered the call, and I have, and you have. You've answered the call of God. See yourself as one who loves God. Well, maybe you're like those followers of Jesus. They were in a boat, and they ended up in a storm. Everything they did turned out wrong. They're bailing. They're putting the sail up. They're putting the sail down. They're using all their skill to try to get out of the storm, and the sea continues to rage. I hope you have not been in that. When everything you do doesn't work. It's all still a mess. It's a storm, and you got water up to your knees, and you don't know what you're going to do. You see yourself as a failure in every area of life. And you call out Jesus. And with one word, he changes everything. And he says, peace. Be still, storm. And everything changes. It says in the Bible, those people immediately were at the shore. Immediately out of the storm, out of the water. No more problem. How do you see yourself? These people saw Jesus, and they saw themselves as followers. They saw themselves as disciples. They saw themselves as praisers. Hosanna! They saw themselves as being in the presence of God. And a few days later, that same crowd said, crucify. Crucify. The way they saw themselves changed in an instant. Let's be like Mary, who, even though her sister said, get in this kitchen and help me, she said, no, I'm sitting at the feet of Jesus. You can't move me. You can't move me from Jesus. Let's be like that other Mary, Magdalene, in the garden, who was crying and looking for Jesus, and he said, Mary. She said, my Lord and my God. My source, my life. Let's be like John, the disciple, when he was in the boat with his fisherman buddies, not knowing what to do, and they said, there's Jesus on the shore. He jumped out of the boat. He left everything, and he ran and or swam or waded. He got to Jesus. Amen. That's how we want to see ourselves. We want to be the praisers. We want to be the ones who stand before God and say, Jesus is everything. But how about your job? Jesus. I do my job for Jesus. How about your education? I go to school for Jesus. How about your family? I take care of my family for Jesus. How about your car? How about your house? How about your clothes? I do it for Jesus. How about that church? I do it for Jesus. Amen. Let's close our eyes. We're going to pray and we're going to repent. Father, anything in our lives that we have depended on instead of you, we repent right now in the name of Jesus, and we lay those things down. And we stand up and take your thoughts of us, your words about us, and your plans for us. And we receive those gladly. You are our source. Say that with me. Jesus, you are my source. You are my everything. I refuse to depend on anything except you. I receive your gifts, even though they come through other people. I receive your wisdom. I read your word. I listen for your spirit. And I walk in your love every day in every way. In Jesus' name. Lord, let this be true of all of us. Let us walk in your love. Let us walk looking for your way, your wisdom, your truth. Let us desire you and the things of you more than any else, and we will know that we please you and that we walk in your love and we are fulfilling the call you have in our lives, and we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody shouted amen. 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 I'd like for you to turn around and look at the clock.